Now turn in your Bibles to the shortest book of the New Testament, 3 John. 3 John, it's a personal letter sent from the Apostle John to one of his spiritual children, Gaius. It was a word of encouragement to this young man, as we saw last week, and how the aged apostle affirmed his love for this young man and admonished him in the fact that he walked in truth. So let's pray and ask God to give us a word from this letter, 3 John. Father, thank you that in having a relationship with you, we can go through a range of emotions. As we sang this morning, there are valleys in every life. There are mountaintops in every life. There is sorrow and sadness, sickness and loss in every life. There are good days and there are wonderful accomplishments and great things that you do. And we're so grateful that you are not only the God of the mountaintop and the God of the good experiences, but you are also God of the valley low. And you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother when we feel so all alone and helpless. And I thank you that we could take a moment just to praise you on the strings and to praise you on the drums and to praise you on the organ. Thank you, God. Let everything that has breath praise you. And we talked about things we need for you to work out. We need you to work them out, because if we could have worked them out, they would have been worked out a long time ago. But somebody has a child who's going wayward. Someone has a father who is despondent. Someone has an auntie who's sick in the hospital. Someone has a spouse who has a hard heart. Someone has a bill that they just can't seem to pay. Jesus, would you work it out? I once heard it said that you are able, but you call us to be willing. Help us to work with you and not against you. Help those who need to yield and submit to your power. Help those of us who need to repent, do so and stop making excuses for sin and disobedience, trying to justify ourselves. But may we be like the man in the parable who smote his breast, could not lift his head up to heaven, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. And I thank you that love comes down to lift us up. Touch your people online, those in the house, and this preacher, as I do my best to expound upon your word. Don't let me mess it up. Don't let me add anything to it, and don't let me take anything away from it. Help me to preach it as it's written. We thank you for the power in the word that is unleashed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Have your way, O God. Speak to each heart and help us to have ears to hear and the desire to do what you say. For we ask this in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, we were introduced to Gaius. Gaius, he was a good man who did good things for God's people. We don't know much about him except that the Apostle John thought very highly of him, and he called him beloved or beloved multiple times in this short letter. He said that he loved this man in truth. And so we spent time looking at how Gaius walked in truth, meaning that how he lived and how he talked were consistent. What he was in public is what he was in private. And not perfect, but on his way to glory. He was on his way to heaven, the process of sanctification. There was consistency in his life. He walked what he talked. But above all, in this text, Gaius was someone who walked in truth, and it was proven by the fact that he was hospitable to itinerant ministers of the gospel. He would house them and feed them and take care of them, because in those days, the gospel was spread from village to village, not by a feed on social media. It was done by people walking from place to place. And during that time, the Roman road system had been put in, making it a little bit easier to travel from place to place. Also, the Greek language, Koine, or common Greek, was in place, allowing people to understand things spoken by Hebrews as well as by Greeks, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these ministers would travel from place to place, and believers in various towns would house these traveling ministers, because how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so as they're bringing good news, people would house them. Gaius did that. John, the apostle, had sent some men to this church, to this town, and they took note of how this man loved them well. And they went back and they gave word to John, saying that your spiritual son truly walks in the truth, not only because of his doctrine and how he lives, but how he has shown hospitality to us. But now we're going on today, beginning in verse 9, and we're going to shift from Gaius to a man named Diotrephes. And Diotrephes is the direct opposite of Gaius. Whereas Gaius was a good man who did good things to bless and help God's people, Diotrephes was a bad man who did bad things to hurt God's people. I'm here to let you know that, unfortunately, every church, if it's been around for half a minute, has a Diotrephes in his congregation, has someone who is willing to resist what the Spirit of God is doing because they have a personal agenda. So we're going to look at Diotrephes. Whoever this man was, we don't know a lot, but apparently he was one of the leaders of the church that Gaius went to, because we're going to see today that the Apostle John wrote a letter to the church. But I don't think it got to the church, because Diotrephes intercepted the letter and kept it to himself, which is why John had to write a personal letter to Gaius, letting him know that I wrote a letter to the church. Y'all didn't get it because one guy stopped it because he didn't like the message in the letter. And so this was a man who probably was one of the elders of the church, someone who had some kind of authority in the church. And if he wasn't an elder, he may have been the pastor of the church. There are many devilish pastors out here who lead as narcissists and not as servants. So he could have been a pastor. He could have been an elder. And some of us, based on where we come from church, he could have been a devilish deacon. Y'all know how them deacon boards can be, that run churches and run preachers off, and they have some people on the deacon's board who, my goodness, do they even have a relationship with Jesus? Or trustees, depending upon where some of us come from. You have people who are more into the money than they are into God. And so you have Diotrephes, or at least the spirit of Diotrephes, everywhere. And I just want to let you know that it's just not the church. Some of y'all got a Diotrephes in the cubicle next to you. So your boss, your supervisor, as we're going to see today, look at these characteristics that are in this man and say, yeah, I'm familiar with that. But also, I want, as we look at these, to look at ourselves, because it's easy to say, oh, that's somebody else. Oh, that's my mother-in-law. Oh, that's, I agree with that. But we got to point a thumb and say, you know what? That one registers with me. And Lord, I need your help, because I don't want to be a Diotrephes. So let's look into the word on the subject of the darkness of Diotrephes. He was a bully. He was a dictator. He was an evil man. But here's the main point I want you to get today. Don't imitate Diotrephes, and don't be intimidated by him either. Don't imitate him. Don't be intimidated by him either. And by the way, Diotrephes can be a woman as well, okay? So I didn't cover that. But women can have these characteristics as well. But no matter what, we're not to imitate Diotrephes or Daphne. I made that up. Neither are we to be intimidated by him or her either. So the first point I want you to see from this text today is that Diotrephes was prideful. Prideful. Everything else we're going to see about him comes from the fact that he is prideful. Look at verse 9. John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So there's John telling Gaius, I wrote a letter to the church. You may not have heard it, read to you. You may not have received it or read it, but I did write. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them. The word preeminence here in the New King James Version is used only two times in the New Testament. Used only two times. It means to surpass all of others. So when you are preeminent, you surpass all others. It is to be superior to anyone and anything. You are superior to anyone and anything. And as I mentioned, this word was used two times in the New Testament, once for Diotrephes, and then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, this word was also used of Jesus Christ. So listen to Colossians 1, 18, where Paul says, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus has the preeminence, meaning that Jesus surpasses all others. Jesus is before all others. Jesus is superior to anyone or anything. But Diotrephes had a Christ complex. He wanted to be the man. It was about him being exalted in that church and not about Jesus being exalted in that church. He wanted to be like the Most High, Diotrephes, who had the preeminence among them all. But when you hear this, wanting to be like the Most High, who does that remind you of? Satan. Because in Isaiah chapter 14, when the prophet is writing about Lucifer, the angel that had fallen, over and over again, Lucifer says, I will exalt my throne. I will ascend to the highest place in heaven. I will be like the Most High. But there is only one Most High, and he shares his glory with no one, and Satan was kicked out of glory. And so Diotrephes was prideful. He had the preeminence. He had to be first. He had to be seen. He had to be heard. He had to make the decisions in the church. He had authority, but it was limited. But he was exalting himself over God and the people. And if he was the pastor, he acted like a ruler instead of a servant. Pastors are supposed to be servants. As a matter of fact, we're told by Jesus that those who desire to be great must be your servant. That's how Jesus taught. Because over in Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 25, it says, Jesus called them to himself and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. and those who are great exercise authority over them. In other words, this is how the Roman world works, where leaders like to be over people, like to be in control of people. And Jesus says in verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant or slave. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So the greatest example of leadership is servant leadership. That's not what this man was. John said, you love, not only do you want it, you love the preeminence among the people, above the people. Diotrephes was the kind of person who, I want to be over people, but I will not be under people. I said it too fast. Watch out for leaders who want to be over folk, but don't want to be under folks. Watch out for those kind of leaders. Leaders who want to lead people, but not follow people. Watch out for leaders who want to hold everybody else accountable, but they don't want to be held accountable. I said something right there. Watch out for leaders who don't want to be accountable. They want to hold you accountable, but you can't hold them accountable. They check you, but you cannot check them. You see, Diotrephes was a dictator, and a dictator expects the authority of the king and the accountability of a toddler. I want to be king. But man, the accountability of a toddler. You know, when a toddler does something, oh, you know, he's so young, he's so precious, and he's so cute. And that's how these kind of people want it. Don't hold me accountable. And in the past, Strong Tower Bible Church has had a Diotrephes or two. We've had one or two in the elder board or the elder team, among the pastors, amongst the staff, amongst the membership. We had these kind of people who just had to have the preeminence. They were in love with the sound of their voice. And one Diotrephes we had here in particular years ago was one of our elders who always felt like he was the smartest person in the room. Now, if you feel like you're the smartest person in the room, chances are you're in the wrong room. But this guy always felt like he was the smartest guy in the room. He always felt like he had the answer to every problem that the church had. Successful in the business world, but thought he could pull everything from the business world over here to the church world, but it don't work like that. This Diotrephes that we had, and some of you who were here back then, don't shout his name out because you might know who I'm talking about. Lasagna's laughing. And if we didn't agree with this Diotrephes, he would sulk, become angry. And if you question one of his decisions, he took it personal. Listen to this. He had the gift of wisdom, but he also had the curse of arrogance. He had the gift of wisdom, but he also had the curse of arrogance. And all of our gifts, if we're operating in the flesh, can turn into a curse or a weakness. And so he had wisdom, but he was not all-knowing. And Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 17, talks about six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination. And the first one was a prideful look. They just look prideful, not humble. You know, Tito Jackson passed away this past week. And one of the things I loved about Tito is that he was the most humble out of all of his brothers and sisters. With all of his success, he was still very much down to earth. Don't you love it when you meet one of the people you look up to and admire, or you talk to one of the leaders and they are regular people, not people who are lording over thinking that they're better than you and that their stuff don't stink. No, your stuff stink just like my stuff stink. You just have a clerical robe on. Oh, let me keep going. Y'all ain't with me. Let me go on to point two. Diotrephes was disrespectful. Look at verse 9 again. John said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. He was disrespectful. Doesn't receive us. John is writing. Someone who walked with Jesus is writing. Now, I would imagine Diotrephes did not walk with Jesus. I would imagine that John, again, he's the elder, the Bible says. So he's older by the time this letter is written. And so back when Christianity began, he was there when Jesus called him from fishing to follow him. John heard Jesus preach. John saw Jesus do the miracles. John was in the inner circle with Peter and James. John was the one who was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus' glory outshine a noonday sun. John saw the cross. All the disciples fled, but John came back and saw Jesus on the cross. John saw the empty tomb. And so here's an apostle who is one of the foundation stones of the church writing a letter, but you don't receive John. My brother Diotrephes, who do you think you are? I tell you what you are. You are a disrespectful individual. All of this that John experienced meant nothing to you because you're so arrogant. You see, John is an OG. He's an original gospel gangster. But yet, Diotrephes is disrespecting his elders. Watch out for people who don't appreciate and honor the elders who went before them. Watch out for folk who don't respect their elders and who don't appreciate their contribution to the kingdom because you think the buck starts and stops with you. But then thirdly about this man, Diotrephes, he was harmful. Verse 10, he said, therefore, if I come, John says, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us. Prating. He was harmful. The word prate means to talk on and on and on and on about something you don't know a whole lot about. Prating, going back to the pride, thinking that you know more than everybody else, prating against us. You are just talking and talking and talking. This is when a person slanders someone and creates a false narrative about that person in order to get other people to look down on that person the way they look down on that person, to make these followers become enemies of that person that you have a problem with because you are prating, you're talking. Every time we get together, you're talking about John. You're talking against John. And so he's prating. You know, y'all know I came out of hip hop. Run DMC was my favorite group. They had a song called You Talk Too Much. Homeboy, you never shut up. Run says you talk about people you don't even know. And you talk about places you never go. You know, you talk too much. And then if you miss that, Houdini came along. I know I'm telling my age, but back in the 80s, Houdini had a song called Big Mouth. People used to say that you had a big mouth. And now I understand what they're talking about. Because what we do is between me and you, not something that you run and tell your crew. But you had to tell Carol, and she told Sharon. And the story rolled on just like a wheelbarrow. Carol told Dee Dee, and she told Pam. Pam heard, overheard it talking to her man. Pebbles told Cookie what she thought she heard, and somehow Eazy-E. Anyway, y'all know what I'm saying. You got a big mouth. You talk too much. Prating, always talking about somebody else. That was Diotrephes. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the presence of many words, sin is not absent. Prating, talking. Matter of fact, tongues can destroy a church faster than immorality can. Tongues. Pastor, wait a minute. What's wrong with my heavenly language? Ain't nothing wrong with your heavenly language. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the English language. Your tongue, your mouth can set the whole church on fire, James said, because you're out here spreading things and saying things against the leadership. John, the elder, was the one who oversaw the churches, ultimately under Jesus. And so this man not only was out here prating, but the Bible says with malicious words. With malicious words. And the word malicious means words that are intentionally meant to do harm.
You're intentionally trying to harm people because your words are malicious. You're talking, and you're trying to take people down. And you're getting weak people to follow you against folks. I got enemies. I didn't even know I had enemies till I saw them with my enemies. I'm like, that's why we not cool, because they not cool with me, and you must be listening to what they had to say about me. But that's all right. The Lord still prepares a table for me in the presence of all of my malicious, prating enemies. Number four, not four, four. Diotrephes was spiteful. Oh, there in every church. Verse 10. He says, and he's not content with that, just talking about us. He himself does not receive the brothers. He doesn't receive. So remember, these traveling ministers are coming in and out of town. And this elder, this pastor, this deacon does not receive them because he's spiteful. To be spiteful means to be mean-spirited. This man was mean and surly. Diotrephes did not receive, support, or host the itinerant ministers. What this means is he stood in the way of the advancement of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was expanding through these traveling ministers. This leader said, I'm not housing y'all. In a minute, we're going to see something even worse than that. And so he's standing in the way of the kingdom of God advancing. May we not stand in the way of what the Spirit of God is doing in advancing his kingdom in the earth. But another thing is, number five, Diotrephes was wrongful, because I go back to verse 10, where it says, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to do so. So he is wrong or wrongful for doing that, because he's forbidding other people from doing what God has put on their heart to do. To forbid means to order other people to obey your commands. It is to prohibit others from speaking and acting freely. Again, you're the dictator. You're trying to control and manipulate how things go in the church. So you not only receive these ministers, but you forbid other people in the church from doing it or from acting freely to show hospitality to the people of God. And so you are wrong for doing that. It was wrong, it was unfair and unjust for him to misuse his ecclesiastical authority that way, to forbid other people from doing what God had put in their heart. And here we have a guy who's making up stuff, as Elder Sherman says. The Bible talks about being kind to strangers and loving on your neighbor. And here he is exalting his word above God, saying, don't receive these traveling ministers. Who does he think he is? It's like in churches today when things go wrong. Things go wrong in every church, and there are breakups and all kind of things. And there are times when there are churches who will say, if you want to get your severance, you got to sign a non-disclosure agreement. We forbid you to speak about what happened because you might put one of the leaders on blast in your commentary. Now, in the business world, we know we have to do that. But should we do that in the church world? Depend upon the circumstance, right? But we do, because some people just gonna lie. So what we got to do is, we got to have wisdom. But anytime you're forbidding people to talk, you got to be careful with that. I don't know about that. Let them talk. And sometimes let them tell their lies, because lies will be exposed in time. But then moving on, in verse 10, it says Diotrephes was vengeful. Pastor, what you mean? It says that not only does he forbid those who wish to house the ministers, but he puts them out of the church. So this is why we think he was some kind of leader in the church. He's putting people out of the church who disobey him. He punished them publicly, giving them church discipline, which this was not a proper use of church discipline. And the purpose of church discipline is always restoration anyway. You are disciplining someone that they might be restored. You're not just kicking them out to show your power. And this is what this guy was doing, because he was treating God's church like it was his church. You ever been in one of them kind of churches? Well, it's the pastor's church. And one way you know it's the pastor's church is that they keep it in the family like it's a business. I'm saying too much. Nepotism. The son may not be called to preach. Daughter may not be called to pastor. But we're going to keep it going because this is a money pot. And so we're building our kingdom and not the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying that happens every time when somebody passes it down to a son, because, man, you're training your son and you want your son to be okay. But sometimes people are being put in places just because they got the last name and not because they got the calling. But what this guy was doing was wrong. It was vengeful. He was putting people out of the church like it was his church. And this is what led John to say what he said in verse 7 as I close. He said, this man is evil. This man is evil. I know some of us as Christians, we're so kind that we want to overgrace some things if that's possible. We just bear with him. Just John said, no, he evil. Look at verse 13. Beloved, talking to Gaius, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. He said, I'm going to break it down so that a 2-year-old can understand. If you do the right things, that's evidence that you have a relationship with God. If you do evil things, that's proof that you don't know God. To be evil is to be profoundly immoral and wicked. Wow. To be intentionally immoral and wicked. Gaius, don't let this evil person stop you from being good and doing good. And that's why Gaius was to be commended, because he still was housing people, even though this evil elder, leader, pastor was forbidding folk to do it, putting folk out the church. But Gaius said, I'm going to walk in truth and I'm going to do the right thing. And that's why John held Gaius to such esteem. Man, next week we're going to talk about a guy named Demetrius as well. Y'all pray for me, because there's barely one sentence about that brother. So we're going to go deep into the text to find out who he was and what he was about. But we see here that this man was evil and he was not to be imitated. In other words, don't let Diotrephes disciple you. Because you're going to look like your discipler. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to start a series on politics, and I'm going to focus on the sovereignty of God. All this stuff is going on around here. We need to take our part and vote. If you haven't registered, vote. Vote for whoever God puts on your heart. Vote. But whoever ends up in that office has been placed there by God. And so we have to trust his sovereignty, even if we don't like it. Okay? So just like when Barack Obama was in the office for 8 years, prior to that, so many evangelicals kept talking about the sovereignty of God. He puts one up and sets down another. But when he put that man in place, I didn't hear y'all talking about the sovereignty of God then. Y'all were talking about, we don't agree with that. No, God is sovereign. He's either sovereign or he's not. And when God says, pray for your leaders, pray for them whether you voted for them or not. Because it's about his kingdom coming, not about advancing the empire of the United States of America. I hope you'll be here in a couple of weeks. Amen. 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 But I said all that to say this. Character matters in your leaders. Whether you work at Kroger, whether you work at a Fortune 500, no matter what church you go to, if it's 5 members or 5,000, character matters as pertains to who leads and governs a country. And if you're not careful, you're going to follow this leader and let that leader disciple you more than you let Jesus disciple you, because you sound more like that leader than you sound like Jesus. That's on either side, but I'm talking about one side in particular without naming a name right now. Well, I'm like, man, you sound like that guy. You talk like that guy. You're arrogant like that guy. You're being discipled by someone who's the complete opposite of Jesus. Yet he claims, or they claim, he's the chosen one. Anyway, no, I got to be prophetic from time to time. If you get mad, you get mad. Diotrephes is not just in churches. He's in the halls of government. And you don't imitate him, and you don't be intimidated by him either. That's what he said to this young man. Don't you imitate this guy. Don't be afraid of this guy. Because what's going to happen as I close? People like Diotrephes, as I said, they can destroy a church. They can destroy a church. And John said, I got to write and deal with this because I can't let it go on. So I got to confront this situation. I got to say something about it. And there are people who have given up on God or given up on church because of a Diotrephes in a church. A Diotrephes has been abusive and hurtful to you, and you've given up on God, given up on Jesus, given up on the church. But here's what we do when you have a Diotrephes. Again, don't be intimidated by him. You confront him. Because John says, where is it at here? In verse 10, therefore, if I come. In other words, John says, I'm going to have to come to town now. I'm going to have to get up. I'm a little older, but I got to come. And I will call to mind, verse 10, his deeds, which he does. In other words, I'm going to confront him. And because he's the leader, I'm going to confront him in front of everybody, since his sins are in front of everybody. And you cannot correct what you refuse to confront. You can't correct what you refuse to confront. John says, oh, I'm coming. It reminds me of what Paul said to the church at Corinth. When they thought Paul was weak. When they thought Paul was strong in his letters. But in person, the brother was unimpressive, you know. Had a crooked nose. He was short and all this stuff. Had bad eyes. They're like, oh, man, your letters are big, but you small. Paul said, don't let me have to show up in there with a whip. That's what Paul said. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talking, but it's a matter of power. And being one of God's apostles, his power is on me in a way that it's not upon you, you evil leaders in the church at Corinth. So John is saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to confront Diotrephes. Now, I told you about we had one. We had a Diotrephes or two. And I saw people following that Diotrephes, learning from that Diotrephes more than they were learning from Jesus. And so I had to deal with this Diotrephes and say, you can't serve as an elder no more. Matter of fact, I'm going to put something in the Constitution that you got to finish your term and you can't come back without my approval, meaning that I got to see a change in you before you come back to this place of authority. But here's the deal, though. You're not going to serve as an elder. Get out there and serve amongst the church in other ways, because that's what an elder is supposed to be, supposed to serve and not just govern. But there are elders who are in love with governing, ruling, the King James says, but they're not in love with serving. And so the minute they get off that elder board, they don't serve. And I was calling the bluff because the heart wasn't there to be with the people, shepherd the flock of God among you, but you want to be above and you want to lead it like a boardroom. I made a mistake by grabbing guys early on because they did well in business. That's not always the criteria for being well in the church of God. Made some mistakes. So when this brother and another brother stepped off the team, they did not stay at the church long, because if they weren't ruling, they couldn't serve or wouldn't serve. They couldn't be amongst the people. They wanted to be over the people. And I was hoping that they would learn. But they ended up leaving. So when you confront a Diotrephes and begin to strip Diotrephes of his power, hopefully Diotrephes will learn and humble himself. But a lot of times Diotrephes will not humble himself, but he will leave the church. Thank God many of those people leave the church. But we're giving them an opportunity, because this is Jesus' church. Not theirs, not mine. Not the people's, is Jesus' church, and he holds us accountable and under authority based on his word. So that's what we had to do. And if you're married to a Diotrephes, confront the Diotrephes in love again. Oh, Lord, I'm in quicksand. Pray for that Diotrephes, man. Or Daphne, pray. Keep praying. I know you've been praying. Keep praying. Oh, boy. But don't be afraid to confront in love. Speak the truth in love. Lay a case out. Like John says, when I come, I'm going to call to mind his deeds. Show the deeds. And if the Diotrephes, again, names the name of Jesus, then there should be an expectation to submit to Jesus. Oh, boy. But let me ask you a question as I close. Do you have any of the tendencies of Diotrephes? Are you prideful? And if you say no, then that's proof that you're prideful. You're prideful? No. We all struggle with pride. But some of us are more full of it than others. And that's the reason why there are problems, because you won't submit or repent or humble yourself and say that you're sorry without an excuse. You know, a lot of times we can ruin an apology with an excuse. That's pride. You know, baby, I'm sorry, but. See, right there, that is right there. Just take it on the chin. I'm sorry. Pride. Are you disrespectful to authority, legitimate authority? Are you harmful? Are you spiteful? Are you wrongful? Are you vengeful? Are you evil? Don't, come on now, repent if that's you. And all of us need to be walking in brokenness, being honest with ourselves. But Diotrephes has some darkness. Those folks aren't fun. And John says, I'm coming and I'm going to deal with them. And God may be dealing with you the way he has dealt with me. And all he's doing in love is saying, submit, humble yourself, confess your faults one to another, confess your sins to God. And God gives grace to the humble, but it's the proud that he knows from afar. Humble yourself. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Resist that arrogant devil, and he will flee. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. At this time, if there's anyone also who's thinking about, man, I need a church home, come check us out on October 6th. If you have not registered for that, come check us out. It's not going to commit you. It's a way for you to test the spirits. My wife, who's the associate pastor of Belonging, will lead that time and talk about what this church is about, what we're trying to be about, what we're trying to do, talk about some of our history for the past 29 years of God's hand being on us and with us, and there's work to do, and there's a part for you to play. So check out Strong Tower. And if it's not this church, you got to find a church. Got to find a church. Got to be a part of a church. Not just have your name on the roll, but you got to be active using your spiritual gifts. Because people need to be blessed by your gift, just like you need to be blessed by other people's gifts. Don't go to a church and just sit down, get a word, and leave. Go to a church and get to know people and be a part of the community and bear other people's burdens and let them bear yours and be encouraged. It's a beautiful thing. Don't let what's going on in the world, talking about they're against religion and against church and I'm spiritual. Don't buy that lie. Jesus still loves his bride. With all of our blemishes, he still loves his bride, and he's coming for us. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Wow. Forgive me for anything I said that was not right. May it fall to the ground, but may we also hold on to the fact that these things happen. One person can ruin a good thing. One person who's not under submission to your spirit can do some damage to your church. I can do damage to your church if I am not under the authority of your spirit and under the authority of my elders. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me good people to watch for my soul. I pray for John Kiever right now, who is not here because of being stung by bees yesterday. Lord, we pray for his recovery in Jesus' name. We thank you for him, God. Build him up. We don't believe it was an accident that he got stung before having to teach this morning. But I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your word goes forth anyhow. I pray, thank you for Sherman. Thank you for Aubrey. Thank you for these men who hold me accountable, that in order for me to be over, I have to be under. I thank you for all of the staff that I'm privileged to work with, the pastors and the leaders, Lord. We are submitted to you and one another. Have your way. Guard us from ever becoming like Diotrephes, prideful and spiteful and evil. Help us to be a team and a staff that supports each other and cheers for one another and watches each other's back and not stab one another in the back. Do a work in us. You gave us this letter, 3 John, for us to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. I pray for our congregation
that you would guard us against divisions and cliques and all kinds of things and prating and talking about people in leadership when you haven't ever done that job and probably never will do it. And so you need to be humble and you need to be prayerful. Doesn't mean that you can't offer sound critique, but you got to be careful of being critical. So God, I pray for our church to be healthy in how we disagree and agree and how we communicate, how we resolve conflict. I pray for that in this body because, Lord, there's work to be done. Lord, because nighttime is coming in which no person can work. But while we got the day, let us work. Let us work to see people come to Jesus. Let us work to see disciples made for Jesus. Let us work to see the body edified. Let us work to reach those who are outside of these four walls. Let us work to encourage them, to give them a drink of water, to give them food, to give them clothing, to give them the gospel. Oh God, continue to do it through this ministry. And we'll be very careful to give you the glory because you are the preeminent one. Thank you for John who said, I must decrease so that he might increase. Thank you for our time of worship today, Lord, through song. So glad that worship is not confined into this building, but we can worship in song when we leave this place. We can sing to you in our car. We can sing to you in the kitchen. We can sing to you wherever we go. So Lord, may we be worshipers and not just people who worship on Sunday. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's according to the power that's working in us. To him be the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. You got to hug three people before you leave. Can't leave until you hug three people. Have a blessed day.